Happy Wednesday, friends. Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by your friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. We've been talking about Days to Go for years now, so you need to make sure that you have this awesome app on your iOS device. Place it right there on the home screen. You can get up-to-date countdowns right to the minute, and you can even update this app to have your own pictures and to get an audio alert each and every day. You can pick the colors, the fonts. It's customizable many times over. So get excited for the next trip just like I am. Just 139 days to go until the Be Our Guest Podcast Cruise 4.0. I get excited every time I send a text, get a call, or post to social media. You can do the same. Check them out today over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1133 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Hope that you enjoyed 24 hours of Disney love songs yesterday over on the station. Big shout out to my buddy Brian down in Springfield, Missouri for programming that day and updating Magical Mouse Radio. We got some Frozen Ever After, Soarin' Around the World, new tracks for your favorite Disney online radio station. So check it out today over at MagicalMouseRadio.com. Well, we're here again on a Wednesday to answer your listener questions, and we're recovering from all the chocolate and hopefully the flowers and, you know, all the good stuff, the teddy bears, all that stuff from Valentine's Day yesterday. So joining me, the family that I love, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less. What's up, Ricky?
Thanks to you two for my Valentine's Day present. I wanted more chocolate.
I thought you were going to see the Muppet movie or something for
Actually, we never did do that. But Brian did listen to the podcast, and so I have to say thank you. He got us a massage, so it's not that all bad, is it?
So you're saying we do the podcast so that we can drop hints to our significant others to get the gifts we're looking for.
He actually really did appreciate that fact. No, he's like, good. Thanks. I was looking for an idea, so thanks for telling me what you wanted.
So feel free, listeners, instead of listener questions next year about the end of January, just drop a line with what you would like for Valentine's Day, and we will get that out there for you. That's
right, exactly. But you have to make sure your significant other listens to the podcast.
That's true. Mine
doesn't.
That's
the only problem.
Yeah, that's my problem. All right, also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. What's going on, Pam?
Happy Wednesday. I will say that my husband was tray romantic and bought me like a case of those feature socks that I love so much.
Nice.
So
socks.
Nothing says romance. No. Socks.
I'm just kidding. That was not our only gift to each other, but he did do that as a joke.
As you know,
sure. I was talking a joke. I was talking with someone not too long ago. The feature socks, which I love. They're so expensive, some of the ones that I really like. So when they're coming in at that much per sock, it represents a significant investment, I will just say. So anyways, no, had a great Valentine's Day, and hope everyone out there in BOGP land did too. Saw people posting all about their Valentine's Day like that. Hope you watched a romantic maybe Disney movie. We're sure Mike doesn't know any of those because he doesn't watch any movies.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, for all I know, Harry Potter could be romantic. I have no idea. I don't know.
There's some romance.
There's some romance.
Isn't that his sister, like Hermione or whatever her name is?
Hermione is not his sister.
Okay. Well, I thought they kind of resemble each other. So anyway, I don't know.
What?
I don't watch it.
No, what? Oh, I have no words.
All right. Well, hey, before we get to the listener questions real quick, I just want to let you know that we have some big announcements regarding the show coming up soon. I can't say them quite yet. I've been kind of hinting at them. No details on Facebook and on Twitter and so forth, but I'm just really excited as we sit down and record today. Big things coming to the show. Hopefully you can kind of help us along with these things. We're looking to grow the show and make it even better. But I just want to let you know, big things coming. And thank you so much for your support. We had a great week last week, too. So thank you for spreading the word. I saw on Twitter one of our listeners passed along our podcast to a friend who had to go out for an 18-mile run. And she took us along with her. So, you know, that's great. You know, look, when you're on a run, we kind of have you hostage, you know, because it's too big of a pain to mess with other podcasts while you're running. So that's a good deal. When you know somebody's going out for a long run, tell them about the show right before. And then, you know, it's too hard to dig that out of your, you know, running pouch while you're running. So
we need more potential hostages. That's what we're looking for. Yeah,
that's right.
That seems weird.
All right. Well, anyway, I can't wait to share, and it will be happening here in the spring. So get ready for that. First question of the day. We're heading down to Birmingham, Alabama with Evan. He says, hi, Mike. A couple of questions for the BOGP podcast experts. Unfortunately, none of them showed up, so we are
right.
Here.
Exactly. You're stuck with us.
Yes. That's right. Well, we'll try. We'll be at Disney World May 7th to the 10th with the announcement that Wish is scheduled to be retired on May 11th. Should we anticipate any impact? Do you think they will still be showing Wishes, or should we expect a soft opening of Happily Ever After? Along the lines of soft openings, do you think soft openings for Pandora World will have started while we're there? If so, do you think that they will pull some people over to Animal Kingdom and away from the Magic Kingdom? With a toddler and a one-year-old, this will be a Magic Kingdom-heavy trip as the girls are introduced to Walt Disney World. Thanks, Evan. All right, so we want to get to this one. Of course, you probably have heard by now, Wishes is going away second week of May. So, you know, we talked about this on Twitter. I had no idea, but I've seen Wishes for the last time, most likely. And I kind of would have liked to have known that so I could have enjoyed it a little more. But I mean, I think the good thing is we always have the music. We have the memories. We're going to get an awesome new show, I'm sure. So I can't be too sad. But Ricky, you've been reporting on this all week for Touring Plans and the Mouse for Less. And I will tell you a story from that I found out last night about, you know, the impact of Wishes going away. But what do you think? I mean, is this going to be I wouldn't expect a soft opening for a fireworks show. I think it's just going to be the next night. There's going to be a new show, right?
Correct. Absolutely. That's exactly what's going to happen. They are not going to soft open this show. They will do it live. They will likely do soft openings when the park is closed for a fireworks show.
Yeah,
it's
like
a lot easier
in the
to
morning.
Do that.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you want to see it at 3 a.m, you'll hear it, you know, I would
correct.
Imagine.
Yeah. If around that time period, if you're staying at, you know, the Contemporary, you might be able to see something. But I can't guarantee that either, but it would be really late at night. So yeah, you'd likely be asleep even if they were to do that. But no, you will not see a sneak preview of the new Happily Ever After show. And also, you know, you may see an increase in crowds, especially that leading up closer to that last night, but they're not going to be there for the last night, right? They leave on the 10th. So, I think that they'll be okay. So
yeah, that's
they're not,
it.
They're not going to be.
They're there 7th through the 10th. But I will tell you that little thing that I found out last night is that I was looking for a guest. They were kind of playing with their dates and we were moving them around. They were on an annual pass offer or a Florida resident rate. So I was looking for both for them. And the one night that is not available on either an annual pass rate or a Florida resident rate, May 11th. So it is, yeah. I think it is making an impact. I think the people that are within driving distance are trying to come up for that weekend to kind of see Wishes go.
Absolutely, 100%. That's what's going to happen.
Because I was like, man, why is there no availability? That's not a busy time. And then I was talking with the cast member. She's like, oh, Wishes. I was like, ah, you're right, Wishes. But Wishes. I honestly didn't think it would have that big of an impact that it would, because it was just that one night, like within the window, if they wanted to stay, like,
right.
You know, they would have had to have, you know, checked out and then checked back in. Or, you know, so we were working some other things, but it did have an impact. So, Ricky, talk to us about Pandora, because this one's a lot more obscure. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with this, but are you anticipating soft openings all the way up to the beginning of May? I mean, that seems pretty big stretch there.
So I suspect that there will be some soft openings. I highly doubt that Disney, if they, I know that they did it with Frozen Ever After, but that was because they were literally working until they opened the place. So, and then after it opened. But I think that if they can, they will try to have some soft openings. I don't know when those will occur. I don't know how long they'll last for. I have heard, you know, Jim Hill said that that week right before Pandora officially opens, that there is a media preview that week. So you won't get in that week probably. But before that, you may see soft openings, but I can't, you know, there's no guarantee as of right now. So I would suspect that they'd probably want to test the new, because it's both, the boat ride isn't new technology, but the flight of the passage, or I think that's what it's called, is kind of new technology. So I would assume that they would probably want to test that out a little bit before they actually open officially, especially to the media. So I'm sure you'll see some sort of soft openings. I'm just not 100% sure.
And we're gonna actually talk about all the news from the past week on Friday's show. We're gonna talk about the Rivers of Light. You know, the soft. These are actually soft openings right now that we're in. You know, technical rehearsals. Yeah. So we're gonna talk about that.
And they were, a surprise too.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it was like, ta-da! Yeah, hello. You know, it's like, oh, we won't have it till summer. No, guess what? It's February. We're doing it. You know, tomorrow. Exactly. So be ready. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the tickets, all that on Friday. But Pam, real quick, what are your thoughts? Because you know, this is something that. You know, I think of it kind of, I'm trying to like put it into perspective of something I know since we've been doing the podcast in the last 9 years. It's akin to, I think, New Fantasyland in a way, but it seems more epic in scale, even than New Fantasyland. What do you think?
And I think, too, what Disney does is each time they do things with this. Now, because FastPass Plus is so integrated in the planning process and because they learn a little something each time they do this, that now there's kind of a difference in the way that they do things. And I think that they'll probably maybe have some very specific date specific, in terms of sneak peeks for maybe annual pass holders or Disney Vacation Clubs members. I don't know that they'll have it specifically for the general public, like the way they did with Fantasyland, because they would just kind of snag people as they were walking by and kind of pull them in. We'll just have to see. And then one of the reasons is, and here's really one of the big reasons, is that guests, when they hear about anything soft opening, they really get, they kind of rely on that. And even though it's not anything reported by Disney or advertised by Disney or anything like that, they count on it. And there's really guest disappointment based on that. And then you have people up at guest services complain. You wouldn't think that they would do that, knowing that, you know, there was nothing promised about the soft opening, but people really do. I've been behind them. I've heard them. It's embarrassing. Like, I'm embarrassed for them, and then I feel sorry for the cast member. You cannot believe the things coming out of people's mouths over things like this, if they really, you know. So I think that that's something that all Disney hates to see, you know, guests be disappointed, and I think that that's caused them to kind of scale back in some of these things. So
I would agree with you, Pam. I mean, look at the Rivers of Light previews. Absolutely. Those had, it was only people who could get Fast Pass, and then DVC and annual pass holders were the only ones who were able to go in to see the show. And I think part of the reason was because of that. And you know, look, they had a technical glitch on one of those nights and they had to reset the entire show and start it over. So, you know, I think that because the audience was mostly filled with people who were obviously, you know, in the know, because they were people who are AP holders and DVC members, and you know, obviously people who knew to get fast passes more than likely were more than likely in the know about the whole Rivers of Light situation as well. So, you know, it was going to be more of a welcoming audience. You know, someone who, if they had one of these technical glitches like they had, wouldn't be complaining at guest relations. So, or, you know, have a less likelihood of complaining at guest relations. So I can see what you're talking about happening. Yeah.
And maybe too, Disney feels like they have a little bit more of a leg to stand on when they're like, look, you knew what was up. You know what I mean? So sorry, not sorry, but nothing. Disney says that a lot nicer than we are right now.
Right.
But you know what I mean? That's just something to take into consideration. I realize that everyone is so anxious when new things come out that they want to be able to see that. And if their trip doesn't happen to coincide with those dates, it makes it really challenging. But you know what? It's always a great excuse to come back the next time you visit. So just enjoy what you get to enjoy. So.
Now, are we saying that Adele was in soft openings for the Grammys because she stopped and had a technical glitch and like started the song a second time? I mean, is that
yes,
something that
yes,
you know you do
was.
In soft openings?
That was a technical glitch, and she was in soft opening.
That's what I was saying. I mean, you know, it's what you gotta expect. Anyway, next question comes from Mark. It looks like Mark Riches, and he says, we have a split stay next weekend between Animal Kingdom Lodge and the Contemporary. Ordered both magic bands, and the kids love them, and so do the adults, but wanted to know if we need to bring both sets or if we can just bring one and it'll be sufficient for both room reservations. All right, Pam, you're like me. You probably have a nice collection. They're taking over my house. We need a bigger house. We have so many. They're in my backpack now. Like I found seven in my backpack the other day. They're multiplying. What do you do when you have a split stay and you have so many magic bands? Do you need all these suckers? Do you need to plan to bring them all?
So what's funny is one of our recent trips, I actually took a huge bag of Magic Bands back to the resort and I was like, here you go. And they supposedly are recycling them. So we'll see. I don't know. Either that or someone's down there right now charging everything to my credit card.
That's it.
No. So actually you only need to bring one set of Magic Bands. And the thing that I will tell you is when you're in your My Disney Experience account, you can go ahead and click onto the Magic Bands and ticket section. And you should be able to see the list of your Magic Bands there. You can look on the back and there's some very teeny tiny little numbers there. But they actually coincide with the Magic Band numbers that have been sent to you. And you can, if you have a number of them like we do, you can always deactivate some of them. That actually helps your My Disney Experience account work better. You can reactivate them later if you want to, but keep some deactivated. I would not keep more than maybe, let's say, 8 active at one time.
That's funny. There's so many
because
active ones.
Apparently that causes problems, so I've been told. But anyways, go ahead and do that. But yeah, you know, you can just take one set down and enjoy. It's less to keep track of. Now, if someone wants to bring both, they will both work as long as they're both active. So that's fine, too.
That's right. Every one of these on the boom is probably active. I need to get those deactivated. Anyway, all right, next question. Bill Foster has it. He says, question for the group. Listen often, and I'm A, and it has the little icon or the emoji of a lizard. I love that. Fall trip for Food and Wine. No kids. Yeah, he says. DVC, Animal Kingdom Lodge, Concierge, Grand Floridian, Boardwalk. Polynesian is my home, but we want to test another resort. We're thinking Boardwalk so we can walk. It's all based on availability, of course. Thanks for the podcast, Mike, Ricky, and Pam Rock. Bill. Okay, so this was like, this is like shorthand here. I got to decipher it. So it sounds like they're considering, they're DVC. So they're considering staying somewhere besides their home resort, which is the Polynesian. So looking at maybe Animal Kingdom Lodge, Concierge, Grand Floridian, or the Boardwalk. Out of those three, if they're looking for something during Food and Wine, Pam, where would you, you know, explore to and try a new place? Which one of those three?
So I'm really torn on this because, you know, we were actually talking about this before the podcast because we're getting, you know, the Magic for Less is going to have group rates available for January. And we were trying to decide which was more convenient, those in the Epcot area or the Polynesian, because then you can walk to the transportation and ticket center. And I think I would choose one of those two because I see big pluses in that space. The issue is when you're staying over at the Epcot resort area on race morning, where the races start in Epcot, the only way to get there is still via bus transportation. There's no way to walk through Epcot and get to the Epcot parking lots. I know it makes no sense. It doesn't make sense to anybody, but that's just how it is. So consider that. But the big plus is if your race ends in Epcot, guess what? You only have to walk back to your hotel. You don't have to wait for the transportation. So I think that I would choose one of those two. The plus for the Polynesian, of course, is it's within walking distance to the transportation and ticket center. Therefore, the monorail and other things. And I think for people, you know, that will be cheering you if they will be on the course, I think that that makes it an easy place to cheer from. So I think one of those two are great choices.
Where's the last place I stayed? You guys know?
Remember? Definitely the Boardwalk.
Yeah, so that's my favorite resort right now until I go.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly.
That's just how it is with me. I love the Boardwalk. So anyway, yeah, the Boardwalk's awesome. Food and Wine, you can just kind of walk or stumble back in the back door of Epcot, and you're good to go. Ricky, real quick, which would you pick out of Animal Kingdom Lodge, Concierge, Grand Floridian, or the Boardwalk?
Well, it's hard to say anything but the Grand Floridian because I love the Grand Floridian. But I would actually have to say the Boardwalk. I think it's going to be much better during Food and Wine.
That is correct. All right. Well, good luck with that. And let's get to the next question. I have a golf ball rolling around here in the office because I'm messing around with it on Facebook Live. Here we go. Chris has a question. She is from Aurora, Illinois. Wait, what? Where is this? What movie is this from? Aurora, Illinois. You know?
I'm going to go with, oh my gosh, I just blanked.
It's a 90s movie.
Yes, I know which movie it is too. It's, oh my gosh. Wayne
Aurora.
And Garth,
yes, that's
Wayne's
it.
World.
Yeah, Wayne's World.
Wayne's World. Yeah. That's it.
Party time. Okay. Excellent. Anyway.
Oh my goodness. I did know what movie it was though. See, I'm not that young, but yeah.
That's it. All right. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam, I've been listening for about a year and really enjoy the show. Growing up in St. Louis and now living outside Chicago, I especially love hearing about my hometown. Go Cardinals. Gotta love that, a Cardinals fan in Chicago. And you know what?
Yeah, buddy.
Chris probably went and saw the Bob Kramer's Marionettes, too. You know, you missed that last week.
Probably.
I have a couple of questions to help me plan our upcoming spring break trip, March 24th to April 2nd. First, my husband and I are flying in late on the 24th. And we're renting a car from Alamo and spending the first night offsite, hitting the grocery store in the morning. We will be heading to the Boardwalk Villas on the 25th, dropping our stuff off before we drop off the car at the car care center on property. After that, we hit Hollywood Studios. My question is, how can we get from the car care center to the studios? Is there a shuttle or a bus from the center? Pam, you probably know this because you guys always rent a car. I believe Alamo will take you, you know, pick you up from your resort and get you the car, vice versa, right? Will they not do that?
They do. It's like a shuttle service, I believe, for that. But yeah, they will. It's not going to be probably the exact time you want it to be, but it should be, you know, it should be close for sure.
Well, good St. Louisan knows that Enterprise, we pick you up. But anyway, that's a St. Louis joke. That's a St. Louis-based company. Number two, we'll be celebrating our 20th anniversary down there. We stayed at the Boardwalk Inn for our honeymoon, so we've upgraded to the Boardwalk Villas for our 20th. I already have everything loaded into my Disney experience, reservations, ADRs, and fast passes. But how do I pass along to both the resort and the different restaurants that will be there for our 20th anniversary? Do I even worry about this? I just want to make sure I have everything covered so we don't have to worry about anything while we're there. All right, she has one more question after this, and it's the most important of the three. But Pam, how do you let... That's a great question. I think this is good for all of our listeners. You're celebrating something special. What's the best procedure to let Disney know? Because they really, honestly, they want to celebrate with you. I'm not kidding. As a travel agent, when you call in a reservation, they are required to ask you every time, what you guys celebrating? So they really do want to make an effort. So what's the best way to do this?
So the best way to do it is, first of all, you can have your travel agent note that on your reservation. Like Mike said, they ask us every time we call in. And then that's just one way that it's just noted right there on the reservation. The second thing would be, though, to reiterate that as you check in. Make sure that the cast member checking you in knows, because Disney actually, for those of you who use the system often, they have kind of a quirky system, and oftentimes the room requests and the celebrations do not download to the resort unless the cast member checking you in knows specifically where to look for them. And that's hit or miss in that space. So I just wanted to point that out, that it's important to reiterate it again when you're checking in. Another thing you'll want to do is when you're making dining arrangements, although you can't really do this via the online system, you can do it when you call, let them know that you will be celebrating. And if you're going to make all your dining reservations in one call, then that maybe that'll save you a little bit of time, and the cast member can note that on a couple of them. And then finally, I'm going to suggest that when you arrive at Disney, make sure you get a celebration button, because then everyone will know it's your anniversary and they'll be able to wish you a happy, happy anniversary. So happy anniversary from us, too.
I think two things, you know, and I know you don't want to do this while you're there, but just as you check in at each restaurant, just give them a heads up, because that's going to be the most immediate, and that's going to be the person that you're dealing with right then. You know, like, they have more, it's going to be top of the mind for them. I know it doesn't take a second to do that, but also I would suggest getting a Bondi band and wearing it around your forehead saying, I'm celebrating my anniversary. Hey, you know, can I, Can I get a cupcake? You know, that's something
Yeah, that'll do it.
All right, last question, Ricky. This one only you and I can answer. This is a specialized question. So here we go. Last question. I love my St. Louis gooey butter cake and frequently make a hometown version now since there's no place you can get
Please
it in Chicago.
Please send it to me. I will take it. Thank you.
I'm salivating right now. Is the gooey butter cake ice cream at Ample Hills really that good? I don't want to build it up in my mind, but then be disappointed. Mike and Ricky, is St. Louisans or former ones, tell the truth. How good is it? Thanks, and I look forward to listening to you guys 3 days a week on my commute. Again, Chris. All right, Ricky, I'll let you give your opinion first. Is the Ample Hills, because I go crazy. Everybody knows. I love this stuff. I mean, it's like a drug.
Crazy, yes.
I eat it almost every, when we were at Boardwalk, I did eat it every night. And one night it was twice.
That was not sad. That's a little sad, but you
it's
know,
that good. That's, and that's the only kind I get. I mean, I haven't even tried any of the other flavors, but it is that good. But what do you think? I mean, maybe I'm just, again, I'm a fan.
I like it. I think it's really good. I will say that they do something that's even more unique, and they actually have gooey butter cake. Like, it's there. You can make it. You can choose, like, to make a sundae, you can choose to do either a brownie or you can choose gooey butter cake. And oh my goodness, it was like, I was so happy to have gooey butter cake. So it was so yummy. Matter of fact, I have a gooey butter cake in my freezer right now that I brought home with me last time I went home, and I need to break it out. Oh, it's so good. It's from Deerberg's, and it's a chocolate chip gooey butter cake. Oh, so good. So, Mom, if you're listening to this, and I know you will be, when you come to Easter, please bring the Deerberg's chocolate chip gooey butter cake. Thank you. Love you. Bye-bye.
And, you know, we do record these shows live on Facebook, usually on Mondays around 6:30 Eastern is about the time we kick off, or we try to, and the Facebook Live is blowing up. I mean, people that are not even from St. Louis saying, yes, it is that good. So
it's good.
It's really good. So I think you'll enjoy it. All right, let's get to the next question. It is from Paul. Says, hi, BOGP crew. Just wanted to start off by saying your podcast has saved me during my training for the Dark Side Challenge. As the runs get longer, I get more and more motivated to finish before the podcast ends. Hurry up, Paul. We're almost done. We only got 10 minutes left. Pick up the pace. Anyway, I look forward to running at Walt Disney World in April and meeting all the lizards for the first time. I'm sure it will be an experience I soon won't forget. I do have a couple of questions for y'all about the race weekends and resorts. Number one, would Uber be a viable post-race option for returning to my resort after the half marathon? My friends and I are staying at All Star Sports and don't know if certain routes will be blocked off or if this would be easier just waiting for the resort bus. Okay, let me answer this one first because I have a lot of experience with this. I would take the resort buses post-race because you can just kind of grab, you go through, get your medal, you know, say hi to the other lizards kind of around the finishing area, get the goodie, you know, the little box of the food, the snacks, the nachos, the Oreo cookies and so forth, get your pictures and so forth. By the time you get over there, the bus lines really are not that long. And even if they do look long, they have the buses kind of waiting in the wings. And they just, as soon as one fills up, another one comes up and another one comes up. The buses have the best access to the routes to get back to the resort. I would do that. Uber's going to be an iffy proposition because they usually can't get in there. So I would take the bus. Number two. Now this one's for you guys because I don't drink coffee. What is your favorite coffee at Walt Disney World? I know Joffrey's releases signature blends for each resort or restaurant, and I'm currently hooked on the Kona Cafe. All right, Pam. So Walt Disney World, what's your coffee go-to?
So I really appreciate the coffee at Kona. It is, you know, it's a great coffee. And I love that they have it available in the press pot as well. Boma also does a press pot coffee, available, a French press, coffee available there. And Gico does as well. I'm sure there are other restaurants that do too. I think California Grill does it. A lot of the signature restaurants have some kind of French press available, and it's usually really good. Now I will say, and before they made the switch in room to the Joffrey's coffee, they had, I don't know, some horrible coffee that was in the room, and it was hideous. But since they've made the switch to Joffrey's, I really appreciate the coffee so much more. Or even in room, even the stuff that's available in room. And it's just the regular Joffrey's coffee too. So I think that Disney has made a huge leap into the 21st century and like got on board with everyone else who was like doing better coffee in their resort rooms. But I really appreciate that. Now, as far as their little, all of Joffrey's little specialty blends, I don't really prefer one over the other because I like them all. But as you notice, there are many different blends. And if you go on the Joffrey site, you can actually see a number of them and order them to have at home whenever you want. So that's a big plus, too.
We're getting a lot of love for Jico, that blend in the chat. Russ Reeves is letting us know that. And you know, a lot of people just say the Joffrey's in general. And I think it was Maxwell House that they used to serve before. Oh. Was it not?
It was Nescafe.
It was Nescafe.
It was so hideously
awful. It was so bad. It was so awful. Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Maybe that's why I don't like coffee. I don't know. All right, Ricky, you were a coffee barista at one point. So
I was, and I was a Starbucks barista, and I have to say, my heart belongs to Starbucks. I can't get away from it. I don't hate Joffrey's. I think that they have some good coffee. But you know, and I enjoy when I drink it, I enjoy their coffee. It's just my brain automatically thinks, ooh, Starbucks. So, you know, I do tend to go to Starbucks when I get coffee. But when I've been at Walt Disney World and like gotten the refillable mug or whatever and use that for coffee, it is Joffrey's, and I find that to be very good. So I think the days of bad Disney coffee are hopefully over. Let's hope they don't backslide ever again. So
yes. Now, if we could just get them converted over to having like real iced tea at every single one of the restaurants.
I like that iced tea. I like that stuff that's in the machines, like at the food courts, that golden something. Or
that's fine.
That's good stuff.
But there's other places where you can't get that. You can get like some kind of like brisk or whatever, which I don't appreciate. And I want to say, like, sometimes I'll say, do you have fresh brewed iced tea? And they're like, no. And I'm like, okay, then here's what you're going to need to do. Bring me out a cup of hot tea and then bring me out two glasses of ice and then I will make iced tea. So anyways, they love that. Hannah told me.
I'm sure. Yes.
Servers, but whatever. So anyways, iced tea is not that hard to make, people.
Brian's also throwing in that Earl of Sandwich has a really good Kona coffee, too, over at Disney Springs. Didn't know that. So love hearing this. You know, hey, we're all family here. We're learning from each other. All right. Last question that Paul has. Which breakfast buffet is your favorite on property? We have been to Crystal Palace. He says the breakfast casserole. And then he puts multiple heart eye emojis. And we're planning on going to Trails Inn this time, but we'll take any and all suggestions from the best group in podcasting. Thank you once again for making a podcast which is entertaining, informative, and a surefire way to get me fired up for Disney. All right, Paul, well, you got me fired up for answering this question. So good luck with Darkside. You are going to love it, and thanks for being a lizard. All right, I have given you guys enough time. I have stalled for another 45 seconds.
I didn't need stalling.
Really? It's a tough one for me. I don't know, man. There's so many good ones. All right, Ricky, go ahead. What's your favorite on property?
I admit it is tough, but I'm going all in on the Wave. I love the Wave's breakfast buffet. I think it's so good. They have a lot of unique options on their breakfast buffet. Hello, sweet potato pancakes, which I absolutely love. You can get an omelet off, you know, I've got an omelet, which is something that you can special order, but they will do it for you if you ask. They have oatmeal, they have an eggs benedict, they just have so
key
many.
Key lime eggs benedict.
Yes, that's exactly. I knew there was something special about it. that, which is all Brian all the time. So that's good. They have so many great things on their menu for their buffet. That's the one.
All right, so Pam, what are you going with? We got the Contemporary, the Wave. Where are you going?
I really love the Wave too, I have to say. Wow. I've been a big fan of it for a number of years. I don't even like to say this because I don't want everyone going there.
I know, right?
But I really think that in terms of a breakfast buffet, the Wave really stands out. It just has a ton of really good food. Now, I will give a couple runners up because I don't want to just say what Ricky was saying too. But I think Boma's a great breakfast buffet. There are no characters there, but the food is interesting. They have some things that you're not going to get everywhere else. And if you're looking for that, consider that as well. I think for an in-park buffet, you can't beat Tusker House because it's a character buffet and it's something that you can typically find some availability at, even when the other ones are full. And while this next place I'm going to mention is not a buffet, I think they have a really good breakfast slash brunch menu, and it's the Grand Floridian Cafe. It's really, really good. But again, it has some interesting things. Now, I would put on there too, again, not a buffet, but a great breakfast, Trattorita Al Forno. But since they're going to be taking that over, I'm really going to miss that buffet. And I just found it. So
I know. That's the bad part. I just found it. It was so
good. It's kind of sad. So anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, you found it and it's already gone. You know, so yeah, what are you going to do? All right, let me throw in my two real quick. I love Captain Cook's for breakfast. Is that right? The one over at the Yacht Club? Is that Captain Cook? No, it's not Captain Cook's. It's
Captain's Grill.
Too many captains at Walt Disney World. I knew that wasn't right when I said it. Like, Captain Cook's, that's not right. Yeah, Captain's Grill is really good. They have a buffet and an a la carte. I like the buffet. They have really good, like, little muffin. It's got a lot of good stuff. But my favorite right now would probably be Kona, the Big Kahuna. I love that Big Kahuna because you get meaty stuff. You get pancakes. You get some sweet. Eggs. It's really good. So, yep, you got about six choices there. Sorry, Paul. Good luck. All right, time for the last question of the day. It comes from Dr. Wainman, and let's see here. It's Melissa. She's a lizard on the running squad. Hello, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I hope you all are doing well. Thank you for all that you do to help us listeners get the most out of our Disney experiences. I'm heading down to Walt Disney World for the Princess Half Marathon on February 26, which is my first Run Disney event. I'm super excited. This will also be my first trip to Disney without my husband and two boys. Although I feel a bit sad about them not being with me, a number of your past episodes have made solo travel sound like a lot of fun. So here's my question. My father, who is 70 and has some medical concerns, and stepmother live in Ocala, about an hour and a half away. They are thinking about watching my race on Sunday. It will take me at least 3 hours to complete the race, which starts at 5:30 a.m., and I'm in Corral M. What time should they get to Disney? Where is the best place for them to park? Where would you suggest they cheer from? Since I have no idea what to expect, I don't know what to tell them. They will not have park tickets. Any advice and suggestions are greatly appreciated. Thank you. And Melissa is in Pennsylvania. Lititz? Is that a city, Pam? Lititz? Am I saying that right?
Do you sure. Know?
Okay. That's obviously not a suburb of Pittsburgh. Anyway. So
I'm willing to give it to you.
Okay. I think it is. That's cool. Cool town. Anyway. So let me, cause you guys are actually the ones that I think have the expertise as far as watching. And you know, if you have some, you know, folks that are having mobility concerns and stuff, I can tell you that just from hearing from you guys and from other lizards who have unbelievably gotten up at 2 o'clock in the morning with us to go out and cheer, that it is physically demanding just to be out there to cheer one of these races because they're early in the morning. And you can't necessarily park near where you can cheer. There is a lot of effort to get out to the point where you're going to cheer. Just for reference, though, Pam and Ricky, the Princess Half Marathon course is the same as the Marathon Weekend Half Marathon. So it's the Epcot Magic Kingdom back to Epcot. So, Pam, what would you say for somebody that's looking to cheer on? Where would you recommend the easiest for this couple that's trying to find a spot?
I think really near the finish line at Epcot is going to be the easiest for them to get to, because you'll have a kind of an idea of when she's going to finish, because you can probably text them throughout your run just to kind of update them on that situation. And they'll be able to take the existing Disney transportation during normal hour. Well, no, because it's the half. Well, either way, they'll be able to take some Disney transportation, and all of that will be accessible and easy for them right there at Epcot. So I think, honestly, I would try to be there near the end, kind of a little past Spaceship Earth is where we've been standing lately, because you can get kind of a big wide open space to really see the runners as they're coming in. And that would be my suggestion.
Here's one kind of going along with that, but just a little slightly earlier. And this is for somebody that might have mobility issues or not want to be out in the elements, because, you know, who knows? It could be sprinkling. It could be cold. Who knows? Hopefully it's beautiful. I'm not trying to curse the princess runners. We had cold weather on Marathon Sunday this year, but I would say there's actually a spot where you run actually kind of up and over back across the, you know, kind of like where you come into Epcot, but you run through the parking lot near where the buses drop you off at Epcot. And there's a stretch there where you're actually running through the parking lot. So now you would probably have to get there very early to get a parking spot in the parking lot, but you could at least wait in your car and then get a text message. You know, Melissa could say she's coming around the corner. You know, she's going to be there in 1 mile. Then they could start making their way to, like, you know, up to the cones where you're going to, you know, be able to give a high five and a hug and all that stuff. So that's usually at about mile 9 or 10, closer to 10 probably. But it's if you're looking at Spaceship Earth from the Epcot parking lot, it's on the far right side. But that's where you could get your car close and you wouldn't have to worry about too much walking. And plus, the later it is, now you're going to have to get there early because they're going to close the roads off. Or, well, they got to have one way to get the cars in because the park's open. But, you know, traffic's going to be a nightmare. So you can't roll up 30 minutes before. You're going to have to get there hours before. So, Ricky, anything else to add? Because you've done this many times.
No, I think you guys have pretty much covered it. The only thing I was worried about was the timing of, you know, the road closures. So that's the only thing that I was worried about. But I think that you guys gave really good advice.
All right. And Lititz is a suburb of Lancaster, Pam. Did you not know that? Is Lancaster not close to you?
No. So that's the thing. It's a funny thing. Here's a little Pennsylvania trivia for you or knowledge. I'm on the western side of Pennsylvania. The eastern side of Pennsylvania is actually about 7 hours away from us. So people always were like, well, you're in the same state. Yes, I'm closer to Ohio, West Virginia, Virginia, New York, you know, many other states than I am the other side of Pennsylvania. So it's a long ways away. So. Yeah.
I do know it's the Keystone State, at least, you know, so there you go.
We're edumatainment people.
That's what we are. You know, all about gooey butter cake in the state of Pennsylvania. Never knew you'd be learning that today on your run. If you're out there running. And also, I just want to send a huge shout out. We have so many new lizards. So thank you for joining the running squad. We just have a great group, a large group, but we're still a small, tight-knit family. And that's what I love about our team. And so many people, you know, Princess is up now. So I know a lot of people are getting excited in the next couple of weeks, heading down to Florida for their 5K, 10K, or half marathon. And we wish you the best. I can't wait to see all the pictures and the posts on social media. I'll be cheering you on from here in St. Louis. I wish I could get away. Unfortunately, the district probably doesn't want me doing that again. So I got to stay here, but I'll definitely be cheering you on. We're going to have lots and lots of lizards down there, though. So look for the green, look for the bright yellow, whatever color it is. We need to come up with a name for our color. I think it's called Volt, actually. But look for the shirts and have a great time and enjoy those runs. Enjoy those last training runs because you're there by now. So, all right. Well, it's a Wednesday. So that means it is a show brought to you by virtualmickey.com. Home of apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition. And Ricky, we're going to talk about the big news on Friday's show. But what's going on? What might you read on Theme Park News Disney Edition? Did anything else sneak by this week?
Oh, my gosh. There was so much news this week. My fingers are sore. So, you know, something that's kind of smaller that, you know, probably won't be talked about on Friday's show is that soon, beginning later this month, guests who have little ones who are very familiar with Disney Junior will be able to meet their favorite star, Doc McStuffins, at Disney's Animal Kingdom at Rafiki's Planet Watch. So that is very exciting for those with little ones. No official date has been announced yet, but it gives you a good reason to head over to Rafiki's Planet Watch, and I bet that's what Disney was thinking.
That's what when I read that, I was thinking, is Doc McStuffins a veterinarian? Because I know she works on stuffed animals. Yeah. No, she's because her mom's a doctor, right? Like a regular people doctor.
Yeah, I you're asking the one person who's never seen Doc McStuffins because I have so many children in this household. So,
yeah, well, I mean, it was just like a 1 degree stretch.
My cats don't watch Doc McStuffins. I'm just saying.
I mean, she's a good doctor. She always like she has a good bedside manner. You know, like when the stuffed there's this one stuffed animal on that show that's like really squirrely about going to the doctor. I can kind of relate because I don't like going to the doctor either. And she always like, you know, tells them what's happening and why this needs to happen. So, yeah, maybe she's going to be like a Dr. Doolittle, the doctor that talked to the animals, kind of a Dr. Doolittle McStuffins or something. I don't know. It's a stretch, but Disney's been known to stretch to get people where they need to get them. Anyway, check out these and other great apps. Theme Park News Disney Edition. Days to Go WDW. Awesome apps over at virtualmickey.com. Do check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at magicalmouseradio.com. Give us a follow on the social media on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And we have a great Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Oh, and I forgot to say this at the top of the show. We have one more way that you can help support the show. Let me just tell you, as the show grows, and we love when it grows, we had record numbers last week. Unfortunately, so do the bills, because we have to buy more bandwidth and so forth to accommodate all the listeners. We want to make it the best experience possible. I never want it to slow down for you guys. So to do that, we're trying to think of ways that we can, you know, raise a few bucks here and there where it's not going to cost you a dollar. It's not going to cost you anything. So one of the things that we're going to do is we now have an Amazon affiliate link. And what this means is when you go on Amazon, and we know that we have some Amazon fans in our listening base, this one included right here and the other one right there, Pam. When you go shop on Amazon,
I'm an enabler.
I'm just saying, you are.
Yes, she is.
Exactly. I'm priming everything right now. I'm super prime. But anyway, all you got to do when you want to buy something on Amazon, it costs you nothing extra. It's the exact same price. Just go to BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon, and you can actually bookmark it or put, you know, something on your bar there, your browser bar. And anytime you shop at Amazon, you could just go to BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to the Amazon page. And, you know, whatever you purchase, we get a little bit of kind of a kickback there for pointing you in their direction, like you need help getting there. But we'd really appreciate it. It costs you nothing, and it's just a way to support the show. So again, Amazon, affiliate link, we have that over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon, and we'd really appreciate it if you could use that here the next time you make a purchase. All right, well, it's time to get out of here, and we're going to be back on Friday talking about all the news of the last 10 days or so. We've kind of had a few days to think about it, take it in. Now you're going to get our thoughts and how it's going to impact your next Walt Disney World vacation. All right, so for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.